Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're diving into something that sounds, well, a little intimidating, right? Common law trusts.
Yeah, it might sound like, you know, something only lawyers deal with.
Exactly. But stick with us, because what we're uncovering today, well, it could actually change how you think about protecting what you've worked hard for and making sure your future is secure.
Absolutely. We're going way beyond the usual financial tips here, folks. We're talking about strategies that give you, the individual, more control. And honestly, you might be surprised by how flexible these things can be.
I was definitely surprised, I'll tell you that. Especially when I was prepping for this deep dive. I dug into this article all about common law trusts, and wow, it's packed with like real life examples, even dives into some fascinating legal battles, stuff that really shows you the power these trusts can have.
You know what really struck me? It's just how much misinformation is floating around out there about common law trusts. This article does a fantastic job of cutting through all that noise, you know, explains it in a way that anyone can grasp.
Couldn't agree more. So for our listener, let's start simple, right back to basics.
Yeah.
What is a trust? Like, explain it to me like I'm 5 years old.
All right, picture this. You have something valuable. Could be a piece of property, a family heirloom, maybe even a business you've poured your heart into. Now, instead of just owning and managing this directly, you decide, hey, I'm going to entrust this to someone else, someone you absolutely trust, right?
Right. Makes sense.
They manage it for the benefit of someone else, a third person. That's the core of a trust. It's a legal agreement, all about transferring ownership and control.
Okay, so I think I'm getting that. But why not just, you know, keep it simple, own things outright, manage them myself? Why go through all this trust business?
Well, that's where those benefits kick in. And trust me, they can be huge. This article breaks it down into four main reasons why people use trust. First, protecting their assets.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Second, preserving wealth for future generations. Third, managing business operations more effectively.
Oh, interesting.
And fourth, maintaining a higher level of privacy.
Okay, now we're talking. Those are some pretty compelling reasons. Let's unpack them one by one. So first up, asset protection.
Sure.
I mean, who doesn't want to shield what they've worked so hard for, right?
Absolutely.
So how do trusts help with that?
All right, imagine this. You're a doctor and something happens, you get sued. Now, if your assets are tucked away in a trust, they're much harder to reach. Think of it like building a legal firewall between your hard-earned wealth and those potential liabilities.
It's like a safety net for your assets.
Exactly. And what's even more interesting is that with common law trusts, you might actually have stronger protection than you would with other legal structures, like corporations.
Well, hold on. Back up for a sec. The article mentioned two types of trusts, right?
Uh-huh.
Statutory and common law trusts.
You got it.
What's the difference? And why does it even matter when we're talking about protecting our stuff?
You've hit on a key point. So statutory trusts, they're created based on specific laws, you know, written by those folks in legislatures. They're more common, sure, but they operate within a pretty strict set of rules, a regulatory framework.
Makes sense.
Now, common law trusts, different story. They get their power from contract law, which goes way back, like, to the foundation of our legal system.
Wow.
This difference gives them some unique advantages, especially when you're looking to protect what's yours.
Okay, now this is where it gets really juicy for me. So common law trusts, they rely on individual agreements, not like government regulations.
You got it.
Does that mean they're kind of operating outside the usual system?
You could say that. And that's precisely why they might give you more flexibility and a greater level of protection. The article actually cites a legal case, Croker v. McCloy, which basically confirmed that common law trusts, they're created under equity and contract law, not by the government. This means they're not under the same microscope, the same potential interference as those statutory trusts.
Wow, that's a pretty big difference. It sounds like common law trusts, they offer a real edge for folks who value control and privacy, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And this difference becomes even more important when we talk about protecting your assets. Because common law trusts operate under the principle of contract law, they inherit the rights, privileges, and immunities of the trustee.
Wait, hold on a second. So if the trustee has certain legal immunities, those protections extend to the assets in the trust.
Exactly.
What? Wild.
It's a major advantage that common law trusts have over other structures like corporations. Corporations, because they're creations of the state, they're under a whole lot more regulations and potential liabilities. Common law trusts, they stand on different ground, legally speaking, which can be incredibly powerful when you're trying to protect what's yours.
This is blowing my mind a little. It's like discovering a secret passage in the legal system, you know?
It's definitely a different way of thinking about things.
But I'm sure it's not all sunshine and rainbows, right? There's got to be some downsides, or at least challenges, to using common law trusts.
You're right. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution, that's for sure. And we'll definitely dig into some of those potential challenges later on.
Okay, good to know.
But first, let's explore those other benefits of using trusts, starting with generational wealth preservation.
Okay, generational wealth preservation. Sounds fancy. But I think a lot of folks just want to make sure their loved ones are taken care of down the road, right?
You hit the nail on the head. It's about having a plan in place to pass on what you've worked for to future generations without them getting bogged down in taxes or legal headaches.
Gotcha.
And trusts are a great tool for this.
So it's like creating a roadmap for your legacy, making sure things are handled the way you want even after you're gone.
Exactly. And common law trusts, they offer some unique advantages here. This article highlights a specific type called a family preservation trust. It's designed to help families avoid those pesky inheritance taxes, which can be a real burden.
Inheritance taxes? That's the stuff you have to pay when you inherit something, right?
Right. And they can be pretty steep depending on where you live and the value of the inheritance. But here's the clever part. With a family preservation trust, the trust itself owns the assets, not the individual. So technically, there's no inheritance to be taxed when the original owner passes away.
Whoa, that's a brilliant workaround. So the assets are protected within the trust, and future generations can still benefit from them, but according to the rules you set up.
Precisely. It allows you to pass on your wealth while minimizing the tax burden on your heirs. And you have the flexibility to set specific conditions, like requiring your grandchildren to graduate college before they can access their inheritance.
That's amazing. It's like having control over your legacy even after you're gone.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one is particularly interesting to me, business operations. How can trusts be used in the business world?
This is where common law trusts can really shine. They offer a level of flexibility and protection that traditional business structures often lack. The article points out some key advantages like privacy, freedom from excessive regulations, and a clear separation between your personal assets and the business assets.
Okay, those are all huge pluses for any entrepreneur. But how exactly does a trust work for a business? It's not like you can just put a whole company inside a trust, can you?
You absolutely can. It's called a business trust. And the beauty of a common law business trust is that it combines the benefits of a corporation with the added advantages we've already discussed.
So you get the limited liability protection of a corporation, but with the added flexibility and privacy of a common law trust. That sounds like a winning combination.
You got it. And there's another huge advantage. Asset protection for the business owners themselves. The article cites a couple of legal cases, including Hussey v. Arnold, which affirmed that trust property can't be seized to pay off the personal debts of the trustee.
That's a huge relief for anyone running a business. It means your personal assets are protected, even if the business goes through tough times.
Exactly. It creates a clear separation between personal and business liabilities, which can be invaluable for entrepreneurs. And because common law trusts aren't as heavily regulated as corporations, they offer more freedom to operate as you see fit.
Okay, let's talk about privacy. It seems like privacy is becoming more and more valuable in today's world. How do trusts help preserve that?
That's a great point. In today's digital age, it seems like everything is out in the open. But common law trusts offer a way to keep your financial affairs confidential.
So it's like having a vault for your assets where prying eyes can't reach.
That's a great analogy. Unlike corporations, which have to file public records and disclose information about their owners and activities, common law trusts can operate with a high degree of secrecy. The details of the trust and the identities of those involved are only known to the settlor and the trustee.
That makes sense. It's like an agreement between trusted parties, not a public declaration.
Yeah.
So if you value your privacy and want to keep your financial matters under wraps, a common law trust could be a great option. But let's be realistic. Setting up and managing a trust sounds complicated. What are some of the things people should watch out for?
You're right. It's not something to jump into without careful consideration. One of the biggest mistakes people make is not fully understanding the distinction between revocable and irrevocable trusts.
I was just going to ask about that. The terms sound a bit intimidating. Can you break it down for us?
Of course. A revocable trust is like having a safety deposit box with a key. You can always access the contents and take things out. It's flexible, but offers less protection. An irrevocable trust, on the other hand, is like launching a rocket into space. Once it's gone, you can't call it back.
So the difference is whether you can change your mind and undo the trust.
Exactly. And this has major implications, especially for asset protection. A revocable trust might be suitable for some situations, but it doesn't offer the same level of protection as an irrevocable trust.
That makes sense. If you can easily undo the trust, it wouldn't be as effective in shielding your assets from potential creditors or legal issues.
Exactly. And that's why choosing the right type of trust and having a clear understanding of its implications is crucial.
Okay, so you got to choose the right type of trust. What else do people need to be aware of?
Well, the article really stresses the importance of having a qualified and trustworthy trustee, especially for business trusts.
Yeah, it even warns about some missteps people have made, especially those involved in the so-called Patriot movement.
Right.
It seems like some people have tried to use trusts in ways that were, well, never intended, and it's led to legal trouble.
That's a cautionary tale for sure. Choosing the right trustee is crucial. They need to have a deep understanding of the law, especially in areas like constitutional law, contract law, and tax law. This isn't something you want to leave to chance or entrust to someone who's not fully qualified.
It sounds like the trustee's role is absolutely critical. They're the ones who make sure the trust operates smoothly and fulfills its intended purpose.
Exactly. And the article also warns against seeking investment capital for business trusts. Apparently, some investors are hesitant to work with this type of structure, which can create complications.
That's something to keep in mind for any entrepreneur considering using a common law trust for their business. It seems like even with all the advantages, there are still practical challenges and potential pitfalls to navigate. Speaking of challenges, the article also touches on a somewhat controversial topic, government misinformation about trusts.
Yes, it claims that some government agencies and related institutions have attempted to discredit common law trusts, often spreading inaccurate or misleading information about how they work.
The article even mentions a story about a financial publication refusing to retract false information they published about common law trusts, even after being presented with evidence that their claims were wrong. It makes you wonder why there would be such resistance to this type of information.
It raises some interesting questions about how information is controlled and disseminated, especially when it comes to alternative financial strategies. And it highlights the importance of critical thinking and doing your own research.
Absolutely. Don't just take someone's word for it, even if they seem like an authority figure. Do your own digging. Seek out different perspectives and make an informed decision based on what you discover.
That's excellent advice. In today's world where information is abundant but not always accurate, developing your critical thinking skills is essential.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. From the basics of what a trust is to the nuances of common law trusts and some potential pitfalls to avoid, it's been a fascinating journey. But before we wrap up, I have one more question that's been bugging me. With all the advantages we've discussed, why do you think common law trusts aren't more widely understood or utilized?
That's a great question. I think there are several factors at play here. First, there's a general lack of awareness. Most people simply don't know these types of trusts exist or how they work. The traditional financial system, with its focus on banks, corporations, and conventional investment strategies, doesn't really highlight these alternative approaches.
It's like they're operating on a different playing field, one that most people aren't even aware of. And when you don't know something exists, you can't even consider it as an option.
Exactly. And then there's the complexity factor. Trusts, especially common law trusts, involve legal and financial concepts that can seem intimidating to those who aren't familiar with the terminology and procedures.
Just the word trust itself can sound a bit intimidating, like something only lawyers and wealthy people deal with.
Right. And let's not forget the potential for misinformation. As the article pointed out, there have been deliberate efforts to discredit common law trusts, which can further discourage people from exploring them.
It's almost like there's a vested interest in keeping people within the confines of the traditional system.
It's definitely something to think about. And then there's the practical challenge of finding qualified professionals who are well-versed in common law trusts. It's not like you can just walk into any bank or law firm and expect them to be experts on this stuff.
It takes a certain level of specialization and dedication to truly understand and utilize these tools effectively.
Absolutely. And finally, there's the cultural aspect. We're often conditioned to trust institutions and rely on conventional wisdom when it comes to financial matters. Exploring alternative approaches like common law trusts requires a willingness to think outside the box and challenge those conventional assumptions.
It's about empowering yourself with knowledge and taking control of your own financial destiny.
Exactly. It's about having options and choosing the path that best aligns with your values and goals.
So for our listener who's now intrigued by the possibilities of common law trusts, what's the next step? Where do they go from here?
The first step is simple. Just keep learning. Don't let the initial complexity scare you away. The more you understand about common law trusts, the better equipped you'll be to decide if they're right for you.
And where can people go to find reliable information? I imagine it's not as simple as Googling common law trusts and hoping for the best.
You're right. You have to be discerning about your sources. Start by exploring reputable legal and financial websites. Look for articles and resources from trusted organizations. And perhaps most importantly, seek out professionals who specialize in common law trusts.
The article mentioned that finding qualified professionals can be a challenge. Any tips on how to go about that?
Word of mouth can be powerful. Ask around in your network. See if anyone has experience with common law trusts or can recommend a reputable lawyer or financial advisor who specializes in this area.
It's all about finding those hidden gems, the experts who are truly passionate about this stuff.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask questions. When you're interviewing potential advisors, make sure they can explain things in a way you understand. If they get lost in jargon or can't answer your questions clearly, it's probably a red flag.
It's like finding a doctor you trust. You want someone who listens to your concerns, explains things clearly, and has your best interests at heart.
That's a great analogy. And remember, this is about empowering yourself with knowledge. The more you understand about different financial tools and strategies, the better equipped you'll be to make informed decisions that serve your unique needs.
Well said. So, to recap, common law trusts offer a unique set of advantages, but they're not a one-size-fits-all solution. They require careful consideration, thorough research, and guidance from qualified professionals.
Exactly. Don't jump into anything blindly. Take your time, do your due diligence, and if it feels right for you, explore the possibilities with confidence.
And on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into the world of common law trusts. Hopefully, you've walked away with a better understanding of what they are, how they work, and why they might be worth exploring further.
It's been a fascinating journey, and I've enjoyed uncovering these hidden gems of the financial world.
Me too. And to our listener, we encourage you to continue your own exploration. Dig deeper, ask questions, and discover if common law trusts might hold the key to unlocking your financial goals. Until next time, keep diving deep, and remember, knowledge is power. Okay, generational wealth preservation. Sounds kind of fancy, right?
All right.
But I think a lot of folks just want to make sure their loved ones are taken care of down the road. How can trust help with that?
It really is all about having a plan, you know?
Yeah.
Making sure that what you've worked so hard for can be passed on to future generations without, you know, getting bogged down in taxes and legal stuff.
Right, right.
And trusts, well, they're a fantastic tool for that.
So it's kind of like creating a roadmap, you know?
Yeah.
For your legacy.
Yeah.
Making sure things are handled the way you want, even after, like, you're gone.
Exactly. And common law trusts, they offer some unique advantages here. The article highlights a specific type called a family preservation trust.
Okay.
It's designed to help families avoid those inheritance taxes, which, let's be honest, can be a real pain.
Inheritance taxes, that's the stuff you got to pay when you inherit something, right?
Right. And they can be pretty hefty, depending on where you live and the value of what you're inheriting.
Sure, sure.
But here's the clever part. With a family preservation trust, the trust itself owns the assets, not the individual. So technically, there's no inheritance to be taxed when the original owner passes away.
Whoa, that's pretty slick.
Hmm.
So the assets are protected within the trust, and future generations can still benefit from them, but on your terms, the terms you set up.
Exactly. It allows you to pass on your wealth while minimizing the tax burden on your heirs.
Right.
And you have the flexibility to set specific conditions.
Okay.
Like you could require your grandchildren to graduate from college before they can access their inheritance.
Oh, I like that. It's like having control over your legacy even after you're, you know. Okay, this next one's particularly interesting to me. Business operations. How do trusts fit into the business world?
This is where common law trusts can really shine. They offer a level of flexibility and protection that traditional business structures, you know, like your typical corporations, they often lack.
Yeah.
The article points out some key advantages. Privacy, freedom from those excessive regulations, and a clear separation between your personal assets and the business's assets.
Okay, those are all big wins for any entrepreneur. But how exactly does a trust work for a business? It's not like you can just put a whole company inside a trust.
Oh, you absolutely can. It's called business trust.
Okay.
And the beauty of a common law business trust is that it combines the benefits of a corporation with the added advantages we've already talked about.
So you get that limited liability protection of a corporation, but with the added flexibility and privacy of a common law trust.
Sounds like a pretty sweet deal.
It is. And there's another huge advantage: asset protection for the business owners themselves.
Okay.
The article cites a couple of legal cases, including Hussey v. Arnold, which basically affirmed that trust property can't be seized to pay off the personal debts of the trustee.
That's huge for anyone running a business, right? It means your personal assets are protected even if the business hits a rough patch.
Exactly. It creates a clear separation between personal and business liabilities, which can be incredibly valuable for entrepreneurs. And because common law trusts aren't as heavily regulated as corporations, they offer more freedom to operate as you see fit.
Okay, let's talk about privacy for a minute. Seems like privacy is becoming more and more valuable these days. How do trusts help preserve that?
It's a great point. In today's digital age, it feels like everything's out in the open, right?
It really does.
But common law trusts offer a way to keep your financial affairs confidential. So it's like having a vault for your assets where no one can peek in.
That's a great analogy. Unlike corporations, which have to file public records and disclose all sorts of information about their owners and activities, common law trusts can operate with a high degree of secrecy. The details of the trust and who's involved are only known to the settlor and the trustee.
That makes sense. It's more like an agreement between people who trust each other, not some public announcement. So if you value your privacy and want to keep your financial stuff under wraps, a common law trust could be a good fit. But, you know, setting up and managing a trust, it all sounds kind of complicated. What are some things people should watch out for?
You're right. It's not something to just jump into without thinking it through. One of the biggest mistakes people make is not fully understanding the difference between revocable and irrevocable trusts.
I was actually just going to ask about that. Those terms, they sound a little intimidating, to be honest. Can you break it down for us?
Sure. A revocable trust, think of it like a safety deposit box with a key. You can always access what's inside, take things out, put things in. It's flexible, but it offers less protection. Now, an irrevocable trust, that's more like launching a rocket into space.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Once it's gone, you can't call it back.
So the difference is all about whether you can change your mind, like undo the trust.
Exactly. And that has big implications, especially when it comes to asset protection. A revocable trust might work in some cases, but it doesn't offer the same level of protection as an irrevocable trust.
Makes sense. If you can easily undo the trust, it wouldn't be as effective in shielding your assets from creditors or legal issues, right?
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to choose the right type of trust from the get-go, and of course, to understand what you're getting into.
Okay, so you've got to choose the right trust. What else should folks be aware of?
Well, the article really emphasizes the importance of having a qualified and trustworthy trustee.
Right.
Especially for business trusts.
Yeah, it even talks about some missteps people have made, especially folks involved in the so-called Patriot movement.
Right, right.
It seems like some have tried to use trusts in ways they were never intended, and, well, it's led to some legal headaches.
It's definitely a cautionary tale. Choosing the right trustee is so important. They need to have a solid understanding of the law, especially in areas like constitutional law, contract law, and tax law. This isn't something you want to leave to chance or, you know, entrust to someone who's not really qualified.
Yeah, it sounds like the trustee's role is crucial. They're the ones making sure everything runs smoothly and the trust does what it's supposed to do.
Exactly. And the article also mentions that it's generally not a good idea to seek investment capital for business trusts.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Apparently, some investors are a bit hesitant to work with this type of structure, which can create complications.
That's good to know. It seems like even with all the advantages, there are still some practical challenges and potential pitfalls to watch out for. Speaking of challenges, the article also touches on something a bit controversial. You know, government misinformation about trusts.
Yes. It claims that some government agencies and related institutions have actually tried to discredit common law trusts, often spreading inaccurate or just plain misleading information about how they work.
It even mentions a story about a financial publication that refused to retract false information they published about common law trusts, even after being shown proof that their claims were wrong.
Wow.
Makes you wonder, why would there be such resistance to this kind of information?
Right. It raises some interesting questions about how information is controlled and disseminated, especially when it comes to alternative financial strategies like this. And it really highlights the importance of critical thinking and doing your own research.
Absolutely. You can't just take someone's word for it these days, even if they seem like an authority. You got to do your own digging, look at different perspectives, and then make an informed decision based on what you find.
Well said. In today's world, where information is everywhere but not always accurate, those critical thinking skills are essential.
Okay, we've covered a lot here, from what a trust even is to the ins and outs of common law trusts and some potential pitfalls to avoid. It's been a fascinating journey. But before we wrap up, I have one more question that's been bugging me. With all the advantages we've talked about, why do you think common law trusts aren't more widely understood or utilized, for that matter?
That's a great question, and I think there are several factors at play here. First, there's just a general lack of awareness. I mean, most people simply don't know these types of trusts exist, or how they work, for that matter. The traditional financial system, with its focus on banks and corporations and those conventional investment strategies, well, it doesn't really highlight these alternative approaches.
It's like they're operating on a whole different playing field, one that most folks aren't even aware of. And when you don't know something exists, well, you can't even consider it, right?
Exactly. And then there's the whole complexity thing. Trusts, especially common law trusts, they involve legal and financial concepts that can be pretty intimidating if you're not familiar with the terminology.
Yeah, even the word trust itself can sound a bit scary, like something only lawyers and super rich people deal with.
Right. And let's not forget about all that misinformation floating around. As we saw in the article, there's been some deliberate attempts to discredit common law trusts, which, well, it can scare people off.
It's almost like there's a vested interest in keeping people within the traditional system. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely makes you think. And then there's the practical side of things. It can be tough to find qualified professionals who really know their stuff when it comes to common law trusts.
It's not like you can just walk into any bank or law firm and expect them to be experts, right?
Right. It takes a certain level of, I guess you could say, specialization, a real dedication to understanding and using these tools effectively.
Okay, so finding the right people is key.
It is. And finally, there's the cultural aspect to consider. I mean, we're often taught to trust institutions and rely on conventional wisdom when it comes to finances, right? But exploring alternative approaches, like common law trusts, well, it requires a willingness to think outside that box, to challenge those assumptions we've been taught.
It's about taking control of your own financial destiny. And that starts with knowledge, right?
Absolutely. It's about having options and choosing the path that's right for you, that aligns with your goals and values.
So for our listener who's now intrigued by all this, what's the next step? Where do they go from here?
Well, the first step is pretty simple. Just keep learning. Don't let all the legal stuff scare you off. The more you understand about common law trusts, the better you'll be able to decide if they're the right fit for you.
Makes sense, but where do people even go to find good info on this stuff? I can't imagine just Googling common law trusts is going to cut it.
Yeah, you're right. You got to be careful about your sources. Start with reputable legal and financial websites. You know, look for articles and resources from organizations you trust.
Right, right.
And maybe even more importantly, try to connect with professionals who specialize in this area, you know, common law trusts.
The article did mention that finding those qualified professionals can be a bit tricky. Any tips on how to go about that?
Honestly, word of mouth can be really powerful. Ask around, you know, your friends, family, colleagues. See if anyone has any experience with common law trusts.
Right.
Or if they can recommend, you know, a good lawyer or financial advisor who specializes in this stuff.
It's all about finding those hidden gems, right? The folks who really know their stuff and are passionate about it.
Exactly. And don't be shy about asking questions. When you're talking to potential advisors, make sure they can break things down in a way you understand. If they start throwing around a bunch of jargon, or if they can't answer your questions clearly, well, that might be a red flag.
It's like finding a doctor you trust, right?
Yeah.
You want someone who listens, who explains things clearly, who has your best interest at heart.
That's a great analogy. And remember, this is all about empowering yourself. The more you know about different financial tools and strategies, the better you'll be at making those smart decisions that work for you, for your unique situation.
Couldn't agree more. So to recap, common law trusts, they offer some pretty unique advantages, but they're not for everyone. They require some careful thought, thorough research, and guidance from those qualified professionals we were talking about.
Exactly. Don't rush into anything. Take your time, do your homework, and if it feels right, well then, explore those possibilities.
Well said. And on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into the world of common law trusts. Hopefully you've walked away with a better grasp of what they are, how they work, and why they might be worth a closer look.
It's been a fun journey, that's for sure. I always enjoy uncovering these hidden gems, you know? In the financial world, there's always something new to learn.
Absolutely. And to our listener, we encourage you to keep exploring, dig deeper, ask questions, and see if common law trusts might be the key to reaching your financial goals. Until next time, keep diving deep. And remember, knowledge is power.